ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 21, Text 10. Vrindavanam Sakhi Bhuvo Vitanoti Kirtim. Yadevaki Sutta Padambu Jalabda Lakshmi. Govinda Venu Manumatta Mayura Nityam. Prakshyadri Sanvara Tanya Samasta Sattvam. Vrindavanam Sakhi Bhuvo Vitanoti Kirtim. Yadevaki Sutta Padambu Jalabda Lakshmi. Govinda Venu Manumatta Mayura Nrityam. Prakshyadri Sanvar Vartanya Samasta Sattvam. Vrindavanam Sakhi Bhuvo Vitanoti Kirtim. Yadevaki Sutta Padambu Jalabda Lakshmi. Govinda Venum Anumatta Mayura Nrityam. Prakshyadri Sanva Vartanya Samasta Sattvam. Matajis. Vrindavanam, Vrindavan, Sakhi, O friend, Bhuva of the earth, Vitanoti, spreads, Kirtim, the glories, yet, because, Devaki Sutta, of the son of Devaki, Pada Ambuja, from the lotus feet, Labdha, received, Lakshmi, the treasure, Govinda Venum, the flute of Govinda, Anu, upon hearing, Mata, maddened, Mayura, of the peacocks, Nrityam, in which there is dancing, Preksha, seeing, Adrisanu, upon the peaks of the hills, Avarata, stunned, Anya, other, Samasta, all, Sattvam, creatures. Translation. O friend, Vrindavan is spreading the glory of the earth, having obtained the treasure of the lotus feet of Krishna, the son of Devaki. The peacocks dance madly when they hear Govinda's flute, and when other creatures see them from the hilltops, they all become stunned. Purport. Srila Sridhar Swami explains that because activities such as those described in this verse do not occur in any other world, the earth is unique. In fact, the earth's glories are being spread by wonderful Vrindavan because it is the place of Krishna's pastimes. The name Devaki also refers to Mother Yashoda, as stated in the Brihad Vishnu Purana. Dve namni nanda bharyaya Yashoda Devakiti cha Atah sakyam abhutasya Devakya sori jayaya. The wife of Nanda has two names, Yashoda and also Devaki. Therefore, it was natural that she, the wife of Nanda, develop friendship with Devaki, the wife of Sori, Vasudev. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains Krishna Leela as follows. In Vrindavan, the peacocks request Krishna, Govinda, please make us dance. Thus Krishna plays his flute, and they surround him in a circle and dance in time with the rhythm of his melody. And while standing in the midst of their dancing, he also sings and dances. Then those peacocks, who are fully satisfied with his musical performance, out of gratitude offer for his pleasure their own divine feathers. In the usual manner of musical performers, Krishna gladly accepts these presentations and places a feather upon the turban atop his head. Gentle animals such as deer and doves greatly relish the transcendental entertainment presented by Krishna, and to get a good view, they flock to the peaks of hills. Then, as they watch the breathtaking program, they become stunned in ecstasy. Srila Sanatana Goswami comments that because in Vrindavan, Krishna goes barefoot and can thus directly mark the earth with the symbols of his lotus feet, that transcendental land is even more glorious than Vaikuntha, where Vishnu wears slippers. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutle Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesa Sunyavari Paschati Desatarine Vancha Kalpa Tribhyascha Kipa Sindhubhyeva Cha Patitanam Pavanebo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. This verse, actually it's like a diamond. A diamond has very special value because from every facet that you see it, it has different colors. And it also shines by itself. So this verse has been taken word for word, broken up into different places to have different meanings, to glorify Vrindavan, Sri Krishna, his flute playing, and his lotus feet. Now, the context of speaking this verse is described by Krishnadas Kaviraj. Every day in the spiritual world, the same activities go on. But the devotees are so thoroughly immersed and have taken so deep shelter of their particular services that they don't even notice that the same things are going on every day because they're fully absorbed in what they're doing for Krishna. So Mother Yasoda, very early in the morning, she sends Kundalata to convince Jatila to send Radharani to cook. After Radharani cooks, Krishna has come back from milking the cows. He has nice breakfast prasadam, and then he goes and rests. Mother Yasoda, after embracing Radharani, sends her to rest also. Secretly, they're brought in a cave in Nandishwar, where they meet and enjoy pastimes together before the day starts. Then, after resting, Krishna goes to say farewell to his mother and father. All the cows are waiting. Now, some cows can't go with Krishna. That is, the old cows who can't spend the whole day in the forest, and the youngest cows who are too weak to also go all day in the forest. So they have to stay back, along with the townspeople, Mother Yasoda, Nanda Maharaj, all their relatives, the elderly gopis and gopas. They also stay back in the town to do their duties. Meanwhile, Krishna's friends, they're getting ready in their house, very impatient. Mother, why are you putting all these ornaments on me? I want to go. Krishna's coming. And the cows, they're waiting. They won't move unless Krishna comes. So finally, Krishna, he's at the edge of Braja to say goodbye to his parents. And his mother says, I have hundreds of servants. You're such a tender little boy. Why do you insist on going every day to the forest with the cows? There are pebbles, there are thorns. You refuse to wear shoes. You don't take an umbrella. How can your mother and father exist when they know that you're going to suffer there in the forest? So Krishna then explains to his mother that this is our dharma. This is what we're supposed to do because according to the Shastras, if we do our duty, we will get long life, we will get fame, we will get all prosperity. And because the cows aren't wearing shoes and they don't use umbrella, it's our duty also to do what they're doing. So don't worry. So then very reluctantly, Mother Yasoda allows him to go. And Krishna gives Mother Yasoda and Nanda Maharaj, he gives them advice that while I'm gone, I will become happy if I know that you have bathed and then fed all the Brahmins and then eaten yourself and then rested and then you cook something and send it to me because we'll be hungry in the middle of the day. So he gives them things to do to take their mind off of the separation from him. Meanwhile, Krishna with his friends. Now Krishna has several messengers. We're hearing in this chapter about his flute. That's one of his messengers, his own personal messenger. He doesn't have to tell the flute what to do because when the flute tastes the nectar of Krishna's lips, he enjoys that nectar and then he distributes it. So Krishna, he'll play his flute and he also has his glances as messengers. So Radharani, she's still there. He glances at her, and that glance is such a powerful dart as if to strike her. But she glances back at him, and their glances meet. Therefore, neither of them become struck. And the glances, they're speaking to each other, saying, later we'll meet in the day. So Radharani, she has just spoken the previous verses about the glories of Krishna's flute, how he gets the opportunity to taste Krishna's lips and the nectar. And now Krishna is leaving. This particular verse has many different qualities ascribed to it. One of them is it's called Tripta Artha Lakshanam. This verse gives both pleasure, sambhog, and artha. Artha means distress. Artha, artharthi, jigyasu. We learned about the distress go to Krishna also. So this artha means that some of the people are distressed. That's the ones who are being left behind and the cows. And some creatures are joyful, tripta. They're very happy that Krishna's leaving now. He's entering into the forest because then they can be with him. So this verse has both qualities. So for Radharani, when she sees that Krishna's leaving now, she begins to fall into a state of lamentation. Now she has her group with her who helped her to cook, headed by Lalita Devi. There are different types of gopis. Some of them are very fiery, that's called Prakara, like Lalita Devi and Shamala on Chandravali's side. Some of them are very mild, Ridvi, like Chandravali. And some of them are in between, Madhya, that's Radharani. And whoever the leader of each group is, the Yuta is called the group, and Yuteshwari is called the leader of that group. The members of that group, whatever their individual personalities are, they take that quality. So Lalita, she speaks this verse because she sees that Radharani is now going to fall into a complete state of despair. Just like with the little child, you see the child's going to start crying. And you say, oh, look at that. Look at the monkey. Look at the peacock. And then the child forgets, and he's looking. So Lalita, she starts like that. Vrindavanam, Sakhi. Radharani, look at Vrindavan. So she looks. And then Lalita, to attract her attention more, Radharani's attention more, she began to describe the glories of Vrindavan. So it says here, Bhuvo Vitanoti Kirtam. Now this Vrindavan, the Sarva Artha Mool of this sloka is the glorification of Vrindavan. So this first line, when Lalita says to Radharani, oh, look at Vrindavan, Bhuvo, the earth, Vitanoti, is spreading Kirtim, the glories of the Mother Earth. So Vrindavan spreads the glories of Mother Earth. Now, how is that? Well, on the next line, we hear that Lalita has called Krishna Devaki Suta. Now, normally in Vrindavan, everyone knows that Krishna is Yashoda Nandan. They don't even want to hear that Krishna has anything to do with Mathura. So why has Lalita Devi, if she wants to console Radharani, why is she even mentioning the name of Devaki Suta? Well, one explanation is given in the purport. According to Brihad Vishnu Purana, that Mother Yashoda has two names. Although she's known best as Yashoda, a second name is Devaki. There's another reason why Lalita uses the name Devaki Suta. And that's given, we know from Srimad Bhagavatam, the beginning of this canto, that Mother Earth was very distressed. She went to Brahma, prayed that she please call Vishnu because someone has to kill all these demons. Then Brahma took all the demigods and Mother Earth to the shore of Svetadvipa, and he communicated with Vishnu. But at the same time, because Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, he comes in every age. That means in every day of Brahma, he appears once. And this was the time when Krishna was supposed to appear. So Vishnu, he then takes all the demigods, Lord Brahma and Mother Earth, past Svetadvipa, past the Vaikunthas, and they all arrive in Goloka Vrindavan, where Krishna is sitting with Srimati Radharani. And Vishnu explains the situation. It's time for you to appear. Mother Earth is suffering so much. The demons have to be killed. You have to display your pastimes. And Krishna, when he hears the supplication of Brahma, of Lord Vishnu himself, He says, yes, I must come now. Radharani's sitting next to him. He says, but how can I go without Radharani? Radharani, I can't go. Just thinking of leaving Goloka Vrindavan, going past the Vaikunthas into the universe, she'll be so unhappy, I'll also be unhappy. So he said, Radharani, you come along with me. So Radharani, she was satisfied to some extent. She said, yes, I'll go with you. But if I think of the Jamuna, of the Vrindavan forest, and of Govardhan, and not being able to enjoy pastimes with you in these places, where will where will our happiness be? So then Krishna decided, well, I will take everything with us. And then we can display our pastimes to all the pious living entities. They will become purified. And the Vishnu portion will take care of all the demons. So at that time, Krishna, he took, because Goloka is unlimited, he took a portion of his Goloka Vrindavan, which is measured as 47 crores, which is about 96 miles. He took that portion and descended to the earth planet with Srimati Radharani. Now, as with any forest, and their trees, their creatures, their creepers, their animals, their birds, every inhabitant that was in those 47 crows came along with Vrindavan. And they all resided here on this earthly planet. Now that's why the earth is considered so glorious, because Krishna brought a portion of his Goloka Vrindavan to the earthly planet. Now some people might say, like when we chant the Gayatri Mantra, Om Bhur Bhuva. Well, the earth planet is not the only planet in the Bhuva intermediate planets. There are other planets. Aren't they just as glorious? No, only the earth planet is where Krishna brought this Vrindavan planet. So that's the explanation of the first verse, the first line. Then Lalita goes on, Ya Devaki Suta Padambuja Labda Lakshmi. What makes Vrindavan so glorious? There are two special things about Vrindavan that you will only find here. And that is the lotus footprints of Krishna and his flute playing. Because although the Lord appears in every yuga, on all the planets, he's the controller in those avatars. And as a controller, he wears shoes. He doesn't get the opportunity to go barefoot as Krishna does. So only in Vrindavan, here on earth, can you find the footprints of Krishna with all of his insignia. The other is his flute playing. You won't see any of the avatars carrying a flute. Only Krishna plays his flute. So these are the two sampatti vishesh of Vrindavan that you only find in Vrindavan. So this Devaki Sutta, because yes, Krishna was born from Devaki, but all of his pastimes in Vrindavan are with Mother Yasoda as his mother. And in the third chapter of the 10th canto, Prabhupada explains in the 47th purport, on the authority of Vishwanath Chakravarti and Harivamsa, that actually Krishna simultaneously appeared as Devaki Suta and Yashoda Nandan. Together they combined for the pastimes here in Vrindavan. So therefore, it's not painful for us to hear the name Devaki Suta. And his Padambuja are glorifying the forest of Vrindavan. Now as Krishna leaves, he leaves his elders behind. He becomes just like a maddened elephant entering into the forest, because now he can enjoy without the watchful eyes of his elders. He's so happy he begins to play his flute. Now Vrindadevi, she's already in the forest. Here again we have the Tripti and the Artha. Now, when Krishna returns to the forest in the evening, everyone in Braj is very happy. But the inhabitants of Vrindavan forest become filled with grief and they faint from this grief. So Vrindadevi, she sees Krishna coming now and she says, wake up, wake up. Come out of your fainting condition because now Krishna is coming. So all the inhabitants begin to wake up in ecstasy when they hear Krishna's flute coming, playing. Now that flute playing, the first to respond is in this particular verse, and that is the mayur. Because from a distance, before Krishna reaches the forest, they hear that flute sound. And they think that that flute sound is the rumbling of the clouds, the rain clouds. And even here in Vrindavan, although we don't see them so much, as soon as it rains, you can hear the peacocks screaming in the trees. So the peacocks, they began to dance and they began to sing when they hear this sound, the entrance, Krishna entering. But the rest of the forest also wakes up. All the creatures wake up. And there's a scientific explanation behind all of this. In any of the rasas, and here we're in this chapter, we're mostly concentrating on the Sringar ras, but all of the living entities are described here. Those in Shanta ras, such as the trees and the birds and the land, the sukkas, everyone is described. In any of the rasas, there is something called the vibhav. Vibhav means the cause of the rasa. How is rasa created? So vibhava has two sections. That is the ashraya and the vishaya. In any rasa, you'll find that. Ashraya means the devotees, those who are supported by Krishna. So here, all of the ashraya, this verse by Jiva Goswami, in his last Sandarbha, he says that this verse is a perfect example of what's called Ashraya Bhakti Rasa, because all of the living entities will be taking shelter of Krishna as he enters the forest. So Vishaya we know is Krishna. So it's the Ashraya and Vishaya that's called the Alambana. And then the second part is called the Udipana. Udipana means what stimulates the devotees to love Krishna so much. When they hear Krishna's flute, when they hear his buffalo horn, when they see his beautiful face, when they see his footprints, it's all described in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, all these udipan, or stimuli of love for Krishna. So the padambuja, these stimuli, they go in both directions. That means the devotees, their love is stimulated when they see Krishna and all of his qualities. Krishna, he is stimulated when he sees the qualities of his devotees. And that's what comes next. Ya Devaki Suta Padambuja, the lotus feet of Krishna, Labdha Lakshmi. Now, all of the forest creatures and inhabitants have now woken up in ecstasy because Krishna is appearing. And they all begin to perform their different services of pleasure for Krishna. And they jump over the anubhavs. Anubhav means the external symptoms of ecstasy that you can understand with the intellect, like dancing, things like that, howling. So they go further and deeper into what's called the sattvic bhavs, all the living entities and the residents of the forest. They start manifesting sattvic bhavs. And sattvic bhavs come from the deep emotion of love within the heart and the life airs. All of these living entities, they completely change their nature. Those that are non-moving, they start to tremble. Those that are moving, they become stunned. These are the different sattvic bhavas. The horripilations, that means that when the trees, they hear that Krishna's coming, suddenly they start to bloom with flowers and fruits. Then there's the colored flowers. The colored flowers, they turn white, they change colors. And the flowers themselves, they, which normally doesn't happen, they start to ooze honey from themselves to attract Krishna. Now, all of these different manifestations of loving bhavas, these sattvic bhavas, create such a beautiful atmosphere in the forest. It's as if Lakshmi herself has arrived there in the forest to greet Krishna when he enters. Now, that's the way the devotees see Krishna, as if Lakshmi is welcoming them and they're all assisting Lakshmi Devi. But how does Krishna see the forest when he enters? When he enters into the forest, because he's thinking of Srimati Radharani, everything he sees reminds him of Srimati Radharani. The does, when they hear the flute song, the does come running. And the beautiful, one of Radharani's names is Mriganetri. Mriganetri means she has eyes just like the doe, glancing here and there. So when Krishna sees the does, and he sees the doe's eyes glancing at him, he thinks of Radharani. When he sees the peacocks, who have now begun to dance in ecstasy with their feathers all flared out, dancing with the peahens, when he sees the feathers in a fan, he remembers Radharani's hair and how it becomes in all different places during their pastimes. When he hears the swans, the cooing of the swans, he remembers Radharani's belt. When he hears the chatuki birds warbling, he remembers her ankle bells making a sound. When he hears the cranes crying, he remembers the sounds of her ankle bells. The armlets are the chatuki birds. The cranes are the ankle bells. And then the breeze. The breeze is making everyone dance. And the lotuses are moving around. And the bumblebees, they're coming to sit on the lotuses. So when Krishna sees the lotuses with the bumblebees, he thinks that's Radharani's face with her two eyes. So this is the stimulus of Krishna. The whole forest of Vrindavan is reminding him of Srimati Radharani and when he will meet her again. Now this Vrindavan forest, because it's the playground of Sri Krishna with all of his devotees, when we finish the second line, now Govinda Venum Anu, Mata Mayura Nrityam. So here we have the name of Krishna, which we're more familiar with. That's Govinda. But this is very early in the pastimes of Krishna. We haven't heard yet about the pastime of Govardhan, when Indra himself comes and does the Abhishek and gives him the name of Govinda. No, Govinda is one of the eternal names of Krishna. And even before that pastime, he is called Govinda, because Govinda means Gavam Indram, the Lord of the cows. And Govinda is eternally existing here in Vrindavan forest. Just as on each Vaikuntha planet, there's a particular form of the Lord according to his different insignia, this Vrindavan planet, which is the topmost of all the Vaikunthas, that is the worshipable deity, is Govinda. So here therefore, Lalita Devi is calling Krishna by the name Govinda, who all the inhabitants of Vrindavan worship. So Govinda Venum Anu. Venum Anu means when they hear the sound of Govinda's flute, then what happens? Mata Mayura Nityam. The peacocks become maddened and they begin to dance. But the acharyas, they do this so sweetly. They break it up in another way. They say, Govinda Venu Manu. Now, when you say Govinda Venu Manu, Manu stands for mantra. It means that this flute of Govinda has a particular mantra that maddens the peacocks and all of the inhabitants of the Vrindavan forest. So that all the inhabitants, that's why they change their natures and all of these bhavas appear in their bodies. Because of the maddened influence of this mantra coming from Govinda's flute. Now we have Prekshyadri Sanu. Prekshyadri Sanu. Sanu means the tops of the Adris. Adri means the mountains. And seeing, Preksha. Preksha means something worth seeing. So other creatures, some of them are violent creatures, some of them are very gentle creatures, some of them are in the valleys, some of them are on top of the hills, especially Govardhan Hill. When they hear this maddening mantra coming from the flute of Govinda, they become stunned. And some of them, on the peaks of the mountains, they are looking because they have just finished a very painful time of separation. Now Krishna has entered. So they're looking, where is Krishna? Because they want to get as much view of Krishna as possible while he's in the forest, because they know when Krishna leaves, they're going to be thrown into separation again, into lamentation. So they stop everything. They're on the top of the hills and the mountains looking, where is Krishna? So that is the Prekshyadri Sanu. There are others. Now there's another, a very interesting explanation of these three words. The acharyas say that when the creatures hear Krishna's flute, because some of them were flying, some of them were running, some of them were eating, some of them were doing the singing, but they become stunned and they faint. And this happens all at one time. So when they become stunned and faint, they start falling on top of each other and they form hills of all the creatures who have fallen on top of each other, stunned and fainting. So that's another Prekshyadri Sanu, that the creatures themselves have become hills, have caused by their fainting. So then, Avaratanya Samasta Sattvam. This Avaratanya, here they're stunned. Anya, other, Samasta, all, and Sattvam means creatures. Now, we heard that Vrindavan and all of its creatures descended from Goloka, one small portion. Now, in the 35th chapter, the 47th verse, the quality of the different birds and creatures of Vrindavan are described by Suta Goswami. He says that all of them are sattvam. They're all Vishuddha sattva because they're coming from the spiritual world. And in the spiritual world, in the second canto, 2.9.10, you can look it up, even then, so early in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Sukadev Goswami is describing that Maya cannot touch the spiritual realm. There's no influence of tama, raja, or even sattva-gun. So this sattvam that's being described here of all of the living entities is the Vishuddha sattva of the spiritual world. Krishna explains to Narada that all of the living entities within Vrindavan, I hope that means us also, whoever is residing here, they never go to Yamaloka, Yamalaya. Rather, At the end of their lives, when this body is finished, they go to his supreme abode. So anyone who's serving in Vrindavan, they have that opportunity to be free from the modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance. Krishna also explains to Narada Muni that there are also demigods wandering here, there are also spirits wandering here, and even the demons, they worship the inhabitants of Vrindavan because the inhabitants of Vrindavan are so elevated in their love for Krishna. One of the demons, of course, is Prahlad Maharaj and his whole family. They worship the inhabitants of Vrindavan. So this sattvam is not like the sattvam in the material world. This is Vishuddha sattva. And all of the residents of Vrindavan have this quality of Vishuddha sattva. Now, because the residents are fearing, because just as with Radharani, as soon as there's any touch of separation, they fall into lamentation. So all the residents, the trees, the creepers, the animals, everyone, they are trying to drink in the vision of Krishna for as long as they can while he is in the forest. But what is Krishna thinking of? He's playing his flute. He's attracting all the living entities in the forest. But Krishna is thinking, when am I going to meet Srimati Radharani? And he begins to think, Krishnadas Kaviraj, he explains this. If I keep playing my flute, then all the gopis will be attracted. And if all the gopis come here to the forest, there's going to be a conflict. There's going to be envy. There's going to be competition. Everyone's going to try to be with me. So he stops playing his flute. And then he begins to make arrangements through his different messengers. Where will the meeting place be between him and Srimati Radharani? Now Radharani, in the meantime, she has gone to her home to prepare to meet Krishna. The different manjaris, Rupa Manjari, they've gone to find out from Krishna where they will meet. And in that way, the pastimes continue, but Krishna doesn't play his flute at that time because he wants to make sure, because again, in this verse, because there is ashray rasa in sambhog and there's ashray rasa in viyog. That means there's taking shelter of Krishna and enjoying with him, and there's taking shelter of Krishna in separation from him. This is what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching us, to take shelter of Krishna in separation from him. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he gave us the Sikshastakam. The first five verses of Sikshastakam teach us how to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra purely. They teach us, the slokas teach us the glories of the holy name, the power of the holy name, how we should chant the holy name, what our eternal sambandhas with Krishna, i.e. Nanda Tanuja Kinkaram, how we're eternal servants of Krishna. That's the first five slokas, the sambandha, how we can make our relationship with Krishna. The last three slokas are the prayojana. Prayojana means how to attain this pure state of love. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu doesn't talk about meeting Krishna. No, he talks about in the final sloka, whatever you do, you can trample me, you cannot be present before me, you can enjoy with other women in front of me. You are my eternal prananath. So this is the mood of the devotees. This ashraya sambhog, that's when they take shelter of Krishna and they're very happy to see him. These two things, tripti and artha. And the ashraya viyog, that's when we learn how to take Krishna in a mood of separation. And this is considered the topmost pinnacle of pure love for Krishna. When we feel separation from Krishna, This is what the six Goswamis have taught us. This is what they have learned from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this is how we have to perform our service. In the mood of separation, just as when Krishna's in the forest, all of the devotees in Braja, they're simply doing their service. When Uddhava came, this is chapter 47, it's so much long after Krishna's gone, he's gone to the Gurukul, he's come back, he's missing the bridge bus, he's so much, he sends Uddhava. When Uddhava reaches Vrindavan, he sees that although Krishna's been gone for such a long time, they're still completely absorbed in him and doing everything for him. They're singing about him. They're talking about him. They're milking the cows. They're herding the cows. Everything completely for him in this ashray viyog, in this taking shelter of him in separation. They're just waiting for him to return so they can be with him again. And this is what Uddhava wanted to learn from the Brijbasis. This is why he stayed for so long. That how, even in separation, one can become so absorbed in their service to Krishna, in their love for Krishna. And this is what we have to learn. Because the gopis, this is what they teach us. They use this verse, the gopis use this verse, because it's just the beginning of this chapter. They say, Vrindavan is a public place. Anyone can go in the forest. No one can find fault if you take a walk in the forest. So we'll also go there. But they know they can't go there. Why can't they go there? They have so many obstructions. They have their mother-in-laws. They have their husbands locking them in the house. They have their duties to take care of in the household. They're bound. And not only that, the cowherd boys. Because the cowherd boys, they're not dumb. They see what's going on between Krishna and the gopis. So as soon as they're away from the gopis, they start imitating the gopis. They start hiding behind the trees and putting their veil like this, pretending, you're just making fun of Krishna, how all the gopis are trying to attract his attention. So the gopis, they can't go into the forest, although they say that we have every right to, but they know they can't do that. So they experience that separation from Krishna and still go on with their duties. This is what we have to develop. And this is what we have to learn reading these forthcoming chapters. When Krishna, he increases the love by not being present before his devotees. He explains to the gopis after the before the Rasalila, when he disappeared, he said, the reason I disappeared, I wanted to see your love come to the topmost level. So we can't, like one devotee said in the very beginning when Prabhupada first made his first disciples, he says, I've been chanting Hare Krishna for 6 months and nothing's happened. I haven't seen Krishna yet. So it's not that type of a magic mantra. No, the more you chant, the more separation you feel. That's the way this mantra works, this Hare Krishna Maha mantra. So don't be surprised. Sometimes you'll be chanting and you'll be crying. Why am I crying? Well, how long is it going to take before I can attain perfection? And we're crying for that perfection. So this is what the gopis will teach us in their songs. Now, Lalita, she's trying to pacify Radharani. The Radharani, look how glorious Vrindavan is. How all the creatures, they love Krishna so much. How they're just waiting, how all their bhavs are increasing just by seeing Krishna. And don't worry, soon you'll also be with Krishna. So when they do meet, now what happens? They start to argue. What are you doing in my forest? These aren't your flowers. Why are you picking flowers? Well, the only reason that Radharani was able to come out of her house was because Lalita sent Rupa Manjari to convince Jatila that if you want wealth, if you want more cows, if you want the good fortune of your son, then your daughter has to go worship the sun god. So Jatila said, yes, you go, you pick the flowers, you go, you worship the sun god, and then my son will be benefited that way. So this is the only reason that Radharani was able to come out of her house to meet Krishna, to worship the sun god. But Krishna's waiting to have some fights with her. Krishna's waiting to fight with Radharani's brother, with Sridham. They're having their fights. And Sridham says, well, you think you're such a big man, but my little sister, she beat you. So all of these fights are going on amongst Krishna and his friends. And they're all experiencing this separation. When Krishna couldn't, because by the end of the Leela, just before Krishna left Vrindavan, the mother-in-laws had understood by that time that the gopis were meeting Krishna in the forest, so they started to lock them in the house. So Krishna, out of separation from not being able to dance with the gopis at night, he would have his cowherd boyfriends dance with him at night. So Krishna feels separation. His devotees also feel separation. And this separation is what brings us to the topmost level of love, as exemplified by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all of his final pastimes in Vrindavan. Now, we're in the middle of the Rath Yatra. Rath Yatra is the emblem of Krishna wanting to return to Vrindavan to be with his devotees again. Finally, he's reached Vrindavan. And even the Supreme Lord, who's the controller of the entire, all the universes in the creation, he couldn't do what he wanted to do. He couldn't stay there because his wife comes after 5 days. And said, you told me you're just going out for a ride. It's been 5 days. You have to come back home. So Krishna, he has to listen to his wife. Otherwise, she beats up his devotees, she ties them up, she causes trouble. So Krishna, although he wants to return to Vrindavan, he's dragged back to Dwarka by his wife. So these feelings, these moods, that's why this particular sloka is called, it's a gem. And it's mentioned in many of the Goswamis' literatures describing the taking shelter, the separation, the joy, all of these different moods, not only in Shringara Rasa, but in all of the different rasas of the devotees who enjoy with Krishna in Vrindavan. So that's as much as I've been able to understand of this sloka. If I've said anything improper or I've left anything out, you please forgive me. And if anyone has any questions, we have a few minutes.
Hare Krishna Mataji, thank you for your nice explanation. My doubt is, this birds, peacocks and all these living beings, have they appeared from upper planet Goloka?
Yes. Okay. Even Srila Prabhupada said that all the birds and the trees are already back to Godhead. They've come with Krishna.
Okay. Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, Mataji, for the lecture. My question is, Mataji, please forgive me if I ask something. We talked about the glands, Radharani's glands and Krishna's glands.
Yes.
And is this related to Nayan Manjari? Huh? Nayan Manjari.
Nayan Manjari?
Is,
her name isn't mentioned anywhere in that pastime.
No, yes. So I'm just relating, my mind is going there. So is this related to that the glances are related to his divine guest Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj?
Not mentioned anywhere in any book that I've read.
Okay, okay. Thank you so thank much, Mataji. Okay.
Okay. No more questions? Okay, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Jai.